beware. Contains very offensive language right from the start and throughout, and adult themes.
Previously on Dubious Intent.
A couple of months ago, I did a video on how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. During that video, I said I was going to show you how to make a grilled cheese sandwich. So that's what I'm going to do today. And here we have cheddar cheese, some bread with the crust cut off because I don't like the crust. And that's pretty much all you're going to need. Some butter, a hot pan, cheese, and bread. And let me show you how I do my grilled cheese sandwich now.
The Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through Tay Interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Unreliable Batteries. When you need something to, kind of inject a little bit of fear into the beginning of your show, you should check out some Unreliable Batteries. You can find them on the web, unreliablebatteries.com, which is hard to say, by the way. And don't, check them out. Don't forget to use the special listener checkout code DUBIOUS for a charged discount. That's all I need. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the unreliable battery-free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Hello, Daniel. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
I already asked you how you were earlier, but I wanted to get it recorded.
You wanted to get it on the record, as it were. In this political year, you wanted to... It's on the record with Adam Burns. Is there a...
Yes.
That would be cool. Do we have like... what would your theme for that be? It was just like, the record with J. Adam Burns.
What is this J. Adam Burns thing tonight? Because that's the
I'm digging it. I'm digging the J. Adam Burns. Now, you and I have the same middle name, but yours is your first name, right?
Yeah, Jay is my first name. Adam is my middle name.
I think Jay Adam Burns sounds, classy.
Actually, it's not Jay. It's that Jay is the first initial.
Right.
Yeah.
I understand
that. Well, there is a
name Jay. No, I get that there is a name J-A-Y. Right, exactly. Yeah. But I know it's, Jay Adam Burns, like Jay Abrams or J.J. Abrams or whatever. It's like Jay Adam Burns. It just has a Anthony Michael Hall. All of the greatest people have three names. Auntie Vera Charles.
J. Adam Burns.
J. Adam Burns.
J. A. Burns.
That's right. J.
No,
J. Abrams.
Adam is better. J. Adam is better.
Anthony Michael Hall.
You know, there are some people out there in the world that think that for some reason always call me Adams. Now, why would you say Adams instead of Adam when you're, do they think it's my last name perhaps? Or, and so they're thinking that it's Adams? Or I had a teacher that used to call me Adams all the time. And then I have coworkers that call me Adams.
I don't even know where you're going with this. It's like
I'm not. We're talking about names.
I know. I realize that. Jim J. Bullock. Oh, thank you, Sater. Jim J. Bullock, another excellent. I was still stuck on the number of amazingly famous people that have, three names. I'm just saying that.
I don't think... J. Daniel Brewer has quite the same ring.
No, but J is not my first name. My middle name is J is Joseph.
Well, J. Daniel J. Brewer.
Right. So Daniel J. Brewer sounds a lot better than
that's right. I knew that because your email is danieljbrewer@gmail.com.
You're correct. Wow, this is a revealing. Wow, we are the most informative podcast ever. So just the people in the chat room.
So Big Fatty's name should be like Big J Fatty or something. We gotta think of a middle name.
No, he is the Big Fatty.
Oh, the Big Fatty.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's. In fact, the only person I can think of, that doesn't have three names would be Joe Batanz. He says two. So that's.
I'm sure he has like five names. He's Mexican. Come on.
We are in just a really weird thing tonight. It's Super Bowl Sunday when we were recording this. So we're
in the Super Bowl name warp.
So I'm sure a lot of people have, even people that don't watch sports ball, go to Super Bowl parties and stuff like that. And maybe you've been watching the game. Maybe you're drinking. Maybe you're doing both. I don't know. It's just a weird night. I'm just saying, don't expect, like if you've never heard this show before, don't like take this episode as like going like, oh, that's what they're all about. You know, like, I don't know.
You should never start out an episode by saying, don't take this episode as, you know, as, what is it? Quid pro quo for the Dubious Intent podcast or, you know, whatever. That wasn't the right terminology that I just, words are hard. Words.
Oh my God. This just in from the Dubious Intent newsroom. That's where that fucking sound effect went to. Wow, I didn't know this folder existed. That's like got all of our stuff.
Daniel found a glorious sound effects folder.
No, I didn't know existed. I use, if you've ever been to our show in Vegas, you know that I use a tablet with a soundboard on it that just has buttons already set up for the things that I regularly play on the show so that I don't have to, you know, double click on it. I can just hit a thing and get a, you know, hold on a second. I have to answer this. Let's see. Yes. Hello.
Hey guys, it's Bacon. I'm just calling to report that Mr. Elliott, Chris Elliott's father, Bob Elliott, comedian, died 92 years old. And I'm going to go in right now and edit my description of your phone name because it says Dubious. No, actually, it says Daniel and Adam Dubious Plus. Dubious Intent Plus. So I'm going to go and take that plus out of there. So.
Okay. That's a project.
Anyway,
are you going to make a YouTube video?
92 years old and from Saturday Night Live and a part of the Bob and Roy show. So, mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. Woodhaven.
Yes, absolutely. Adam, are you familiar with Bob and Ray or Ray and Bob? I forget which the order was.
It sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah.
They were a.
But isn't he someone's father?
Yeah, he's
well?
Chris Elliott's father. Chris Elliott has been on several failed sitcoms, but Chris Elliott perhaps reached his pinnacle of fame as being the head writer for David Letterman for many years. So, and also used to write for Saturday Night Live, I believe. But yeah, so Chris Elliott, his dad was Bob Elliott, but Bob and Ray were like this, you know, they were super duper famous vaudeville people. You know what I'm saying? Like they were household names during their day.
Isn't there like a Bob and Tom right now on the radio? I mean, currently in Chicago or somewhere?
I don't know. I don't think it's the same thing. I'm trying to.
Well, I'm not saying
I'm just going to get something wrong here. So I just want to. I'm just going to. Yeah. So Bob and Ray, that was how it was. They're an American comedy duo, 50 years worth of a career. They started on the radio. So they started, and then they were on several different game shows. But the point is that they were like super famous. And then they kind of, you know, that whole era kind of died out. And then, you know, so to say like, oh, yeah, isn't he Chris Elliott's father? That's kind of, never mind. I had no point to that. I really did.
It's all right.
Oh, you were muted. Anyway. So you couldn't have interrupted me if you wanted to. You were muted.
I was muted.
Anyway, back to what I was saying. I have this tablet that has all the buttons on it that I can like quickly play the sounds to it. And then right when this show started this evening, the battery, I did not have the tablet plugged in and the battery died. And it's like, you know, the tablet shut off. So I couldn't. And then Adam was like, oh, yeah, there's in the Google Drive, in the Google Drive folder, the thing that we share, there's a whole directory of all of our sound effects. So that's why I didn't know that our news thing. I thought that we had lost it to time, Adam.
Yeah. No, so I'm going to jump right in. And
why are you saying that is not interesting? That the everything I just said was just boring? And
no, everything you said was very interesting, but I am going to jump in. Except before we jump in.
Yes, yes.
We always do one thing. It is 9:27 p.m. in the evening.
This last week. Yes, but you are correct,
and,
Adam.
That means that we are streaming live over at pride48.com. We've been streaming live for about 45 minutes at this point. However, we just now started the show. We have a glorious Super Boolean chat room this evening.
Super Boolean?
Super Boolean a chat room.
Oh, Super Boolean. I was thinking, I thought you were like saying like Boolean, like a Boolean logic. I was just
true
like,
or false,
like,
Daniel, true or false?
There are a bunch of super trues and falses out in the.
We have a Super Boolean chat room, and who might be in that chat
I will
room,
tell you,
Daniel?
And here, you know, what you'll do since they are a Super Boolean chat room is every time when I say their name, just give me a true false on it. Auntie Vera Charles.
True.
Cyclone.
True.
Mags.
True.
Seder 69.
False.
Tom and Terry in California.
True.
Mm-hmm. Gary MC.
false.
No, he's there.
Well, he's an idler. Sater really is in the chat room, yeah. But I felt like I needed a false, and who better to be false than
and
Sater?
And how am I missing RT Cruiser? He's like right there. Oh, he just logged out.
Computers or something.
He's like, oh my God, there's roll call. I'm leaving. And RT Cruiser was in here somewhere. True. Oh, see, Gary MC was not.
Oh yeah, and we have Mib Dizzy in the Hizzy.
Oh, that's right. How did we miss that? He had logged in.
I feel like he's that's like a rapper name that was like arbitrarily assigned by
the
chat room.
No one other than these 11 people even know what we're talking about.
So, well, yeah, anyway.
This is like, I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we've jumped the rails. I sincerely apologize.
If you don't log in with a name, it gives you a name.
No one wants to know.
All right. So this week, I learned something about myself, Daniel.
What did you learn, Adam?
Something very, very interesting.
Yes.
And important.
Oh, do I get to guess?
I learned that I'm rebellious.
Oh,
now,
wait.
No one would think that I'm a rebellious person because I'm a people pleaser. I mean, I enjoy making other people happy. However, I learned that I'm a rebellious soul. And I'll tell you why. There are two instances just this week that let me know that I'm a rebellious individual. And the first one is, I went to Wendy's this week for my fried chicken sandwich, my home style chicken sandwich with extra pickles and onions.
I just feel like Wendy's is becoming like your nemesis or something. It's just like, I was at that Wendy's again, the one with the shifty eyes that looks at me as I drive by.
I have a thing.
They see me coming and they mess up my order on purpose just to get at me. It's a deep game they got going on.
I'm not sure if I said that on this show or not, but they have a screen. They do not use the screen at all. Like, it's there. It is lit up. I know it works. The Wendy's logo is on the screen. They don't use it. You know what else? Not only do they not use the screen,
yes,
they don't call back your fucking order. So you have no way of knowing if they got it right. And strike three, ladies and gentlemen, they rarely ever even give you a receipt. So if they do get you have no proof.
I see. That's what I'm saying. This is like your nemesis. This is like your this is your Moby Dick. This is your that Wendy's.
Right.
Oh, is that Wendy's?
So
it was a cold day in Arkansas and I saw the Wendy's up on the horizon.
But they have food that I like the taste of and is within my caloric range. So I still go there. But anyway, so I was at Wendy's and I noticed.
Thank you, Auntie Vera. It was a lovely meal. It was within my caloric range and quite tasty.
It had pickles on it. Tom or Terry one doesn't like pickles. I'm not sure, but it did have pickles on it. But anyway, I learned this about myself.
Yes.
So
that you're rebellious. I'm sorry, I had forgotten there for a second.
Yes.
Now
so we're driving up, and they come on the loudspeaker, and they this is what they do. Hi, welcome to Wendy's. Would you like to try our new bacon Gouda cheeseburger tonight? Now, I had this internal struggle.
Yes.
Because I kind of wanted the bacon Gouda cheeseburger.
Oh, God.
But because they asked me if I wanted it. And this has happened more than once in my life. This wasn't just this time. I had an internal dialogue with myself.
Because you feel like what, they'd win then?
Yes. Because they have promoted this thing to me, and then I feel stupid saying, why, yes, I would like to have the bacon Gouda cheeseburger tonight. Thank you for asking. So, and it actually worked out.
Happens every time I go to the doctor and ask about some medication I saw on TV. It's like, yeah, it's the same thing. Ask your doctor about Prevacid or whatever the fuck it is.
So it worked out quite well, actually, because I really wanted to get the chicken sandwich, and I ended up getting a grilled chicken sandwich, so I saved even more calories.
Wow.
But
now, did they do that on purpose, or was that just like you, because you said you ended up with a grilled sandwich? I mean,
did they give you
the wrong order?
No. So I was debating between the homestyle chicken sandwich and the bacon Gouda cheeseburger, but I knew on my diet I really needed to go with chicken.
Right.
And then I got so mad with them calling out the bacon Gouda cheeseburger, I was like, fuck it, I'm getting the grilled. Because they'll save even more calories, you know. So if I'm not getting the Gouda cheese. Anyway.
All right. This just in from the Dubious Intent production department. It's Adam's theme song.
So
I used to sit alone doing evil all day. But now I think that someone's going to get in my way. Yeah, there's someone in my life that doesn't want me to exist.
go. It's your Nemesis song, Adam.
All right. It's so your, then yes, the next day we go to, it's time for our monthly Nissan trip.
So is Adam's time of the month?
No. It's time to go to Nissan, the dealership, and get our maintenance done.
Right.
And the guy comes around that they have this guy there now that checks your windshield for cracks and chips.
Yes. He's the windshield guy.
And then he'll do this thing where he'll be like, he'll circle them with a little chalk pen. And then he'll say, you know, your rock chips here on this, you know, they're very dangerous. And we can fix those. And I bet your insurance will cover it. It'll be free today. You know, he had already done this last month. And I knew the spiel.
You knew the scam.
You know, I knew the spiel. Well, I used to be a claims adjuster, so I knew that it's covered. But anyway, regardless. So then I get there and he's doing that for Mark. He's already doing that for Mark. And I rush into the lobby, into the waiting area.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to talk to the guy.
Don't
want
to talk to him.
I don't want this sales pressure. This, like, I don't want this, you know, I don't want to be sold to. Just change my oil. Don't. then.
Yes.
I'm sitting there minding my own business. The guy comes into the lobby to find me, to ask me about the dadgum rock chips.
Yes.
And I said to him, I held my hand up like this.
Yes.
And I said,
you held your hand up.
Yes. And I said,
wait. You, is it like he's talking to you and you hand your held up? You,
he hasn't
you hand
started
up your head,
talking yet.
Like, oh,
he hasn't
so you preemptively, because the way you said it, you made it sound, and the way you did it, it, like you were in a classroom and like he was just talking, you just sat there and just like, instead of interrupting him, you just raised your
hand. No, it wasn't holding it up like this. It was like stop. It was like a stop motion. It was like that.
And you
stop
got rock chips all over your, oh, yes, sir. You have a question? Yes.
No.
Yes, you,
no,
sir.
I put my hand out as to stop him from approaching me, and I say, rock chips?
Yes.
And he says, yes. And I said, I'm not interested.
Oh. Ooh.
So he leaves. But then I got to thinking about it and I thought, you know, I am rebellious because anytime people try to sell me something, I'm automatically, psychologically, even if I want the service.
Yes.
I do not want it if they've tried to make me.
Wow.
Do it.
Wow.
So maybe, you know, it would have been free. I could have gotten the rock chip fixed. Mm-hmm. But I don't want him high pressure sales pitching me into doing, you know, I may want the bacon Gouda cheeseburger from Wendy's, but I don't want them to be like, hey, welcome to Wendy's. Would you like to try our blah, blah, blah?
You want to have a nice day, but people keep telling you to do it. And so you don't. And it's just like, you know, you're like, fuck you. I'm not going to have a nice day. Right. Am I right?
Yes, exactly. I don't want to do it. Anyway, so that's I'm rebellious, apparently, Daniel. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
I learned this about myself.
As Cyclone in the chat room is pointing out, it's ironic given that you work for the world's largest retailer.
I have a story about them later. You guys,
that'll be great. I love a good Walmart story. Yes.
And so I really am a people pleaser. And just to kind of sit on the psychologist couch for a moment, because I know that you have a degree in psychology.
I do. I don't like to talk about it, Adam, but you're in fact correct. I do.
Here is something that you might know about people who have this people pleasing sort of mentality.
Yes.
Deep down in the back of the recesses of our minds, we harbor ill will. That's not even a good thing to say. We have anger towards these people that we're pleasing.
Yes.
Right? Because we're like, how dare they? I jump through all these hoops to please them. And it really, like, it's really this thing that, and I think that may be an extension of that. Like in a situation where I don't care. I may never see that person again. And they're trying to sell me a bacon Gouda cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I can release some of that anger.
But still, if you wanted like, the bacon Gouda cheeseburger, then.
I don't. It's I'm like, not pleasing you. I will not please
I don't,
you,
I mean,
Wendy's
when I,
employee.
When I go to a restaurant and the waiter comes over and goes, oh, we have a special tonight. No, don't try to sucker me with your special fresh food that you only had available today. Don't try to get me with that chef's meal of the day.
Look,
I'll take printed on the menu and it has been here for 100 years at will.
I'm not saying.
Why did I sound vaguely Irish?
I don't know. I'm not saying that it's correct. I'm just saying that is what happens to me. So if you ever want me to turn something down,
I know. Yes, I've known you. I've known you for 7 years. So, yes, I'm aware of all this, Adam. Why do you think we still have a news segment? Because I didn't want to do it. And instead of you saying something about it, you were just like, okay, fine. We'll just get rid of the news segment. And then, like, then you just kept sneaking news stories in other places. And I had to lock you down and basically be like, what? Do you not want to get rid of the news? No. Then why didn't you say that? Because I'm people pleaser.
Well, it's true. Whatever. But you didn't offer me a bacon Gouda cheeseburger, and I didn't get a chance to say no. I will have a grilled chicken sandwich.
I just have this vision of you just going inside Wendy's and just like getting up to the cash register and just doing that whole thing, like holding. I know you're going to suggest a bacon Gouda cheeseburger, but before you do, ma'am, before you do, let me explain this to you. I, on my own free will, want a bacon Gouda cheeseburger. And it had nothing to do with your suggestion.
Exactly. I'm not saying it makes sense.
I'm sorry. Let's answer the phone. Yes, hello.
Hey, guys. Mags again. Still listening to the after show. You guys are going pretty long tonight.
How dare we?
And I just lost my page.
I can hear Joe Batanz in the background.
And we got Tangerine Dream founder Edgar Froese, Froese. It's an interesting name. Dead at 70. I believe Tangerine Dream did the soundtrack to Legend. I'm pretty certain they did a movie soundtrack at one point, but it doesn't say. So sorry for the, you know, a little blank there, but that's what truncating's for.
There you go. Did we confirm this, or is this another...
I didn't look anything up.
Do we know? I hear I'll
Edgar Froese.
It's coming up. Yeah, he died on January 20th, 2015, which would have been last year.
Oh,
in Vienna,
too bad.
Austria. So, yeah. So there you go. Yeah, that was last year. I'm still just...
You can go on to your first story.
I'm schwanked and stymied by your...
Well... You're schwanked and stymied. Okay.
It's an iconoclastic phrase, and you probably have never heard of it before. Adam, I know that you usually don't listen to the beginning of the show because, you know, I do a lot of work, Adam. I do a lot of work. I scour the internet. I look for what would be the perfect previously on Dubious Intent that we play at the beginning of every show.
Yes.
I do a lot of research on that.
You know what would be real work?
Would be pulling
listening
it
to the last week's episode and pulling it out of the episode. Right, yeah. That would be work.
They've already heard that. But here's the thing is I do all of this work.
Yes.
I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, you do all this work.
Oh,
and
you don't listen to you. You're usually not even in the room when the previously on is playing.
Oh,
you show up.
I'm in the
room. You show up at the end of the intro. So you didn't even hear that today on the previously on, we played a clip from your friend and mine, Paul Armstrong.
Yes, I did hear that, actually. I was back.
Now, have you watched his fascinating YouTube video on how to make a grilled cheese sandwich?
It's in my top five. I have not watched it.
You should go in, and if you want to know the incorrect way to make a grilled cheese sandwich, you should go watch Paul Armstrong construct a grilled cheese sandwich. And then if you're curious about how to make an actual grilled cheese sandwich, then Google Alton Brown grilled cheese sandwich.
Well, because Alton Brown knows the correct way to do everything.
Well, I'm just saying he's made a video on it. But my point is Paul Armstrong was at the beginning of our thing today, and I know you're not going to remember, but I'm going to ask it anyway. When I saw the video pop up that he was going to make a grilled cheese sandwich, I thought for sure when we had played his how to make a peanut butter sandwich, that you made some comment like, oh, what's next? Is he going to show us how to make a grilled cheese or something? I thought maybe it was your suggestion and he was going to give you credit for it.
Well, it might be. I could have said that.
I don't remember what episode that would have been or any of that stuff. I'm just saying. Just saying, Adam, you could have given him the idea to make this grilled cheese sandwich, and you got
there. There tend to be fans of this Dubious Intent, and so we'll get on kicks. Well, really, it's you. You'll get on a kick, and then for a length of time, you'll be bringing up the same thing in every show.
Yeah.
So you've been on a little bit of a Paul Armstrong kick recently. So I'm not sure which episode that would be.
Wow, I have not been on a Paul Armstrong kick. I watch it, you know, I watch YouTube. That's all it is. I watch a lot of YouTube stuff. And, you know, Paul, if you want to, he had some great Blizzard footage. I'm just saying. He actually did.
So anyway, he made a grilled cheese. Did you have comments about that? Or
no, if you haven't seen it, you should go and watch it. It's like don't make a grilled cheese like that. Hey, you don't cut crust off of bread. Crust is just the toasted part. You know how silly that is? You're cutting the crust off of a bread and then toasting the bread, which is basically making crust.
Well, I've never cut crust off my bread, but
I don't want that crust. I want this new crust.
I had this cousin once.
Yes.
And who was a week younger than me and gay. Mm-hmm. No, she's a girl. She wasn't. And she weren't. Anyway, I mean, girls could be gay, but anyway. So I don't even know what I'm saying.
Do you want to free qualify that anymore?
She used to be the pickiest eater.
Yeah.
She had to have her crust cut off her bread. She didn't like anything creamy like mayonnaise or anything like that.
Yeah, She didn't like what?
Mayonnaise.
Wait, what is it called?
Mayonnaise.
Yes. Oh, okay. Good, good. Yeah, it's called mayonnaise.
She didn't like, it was just, you could list or count on your finger the things she would actually eat.
Yes.
Versus the things that she wouldn't. And that's what that reminds me of. Cutting crust off the bread reminds me of
those. If you ever used to listen to Paul's podcast, Long May It Rest in Peace or whatever, it's like, he was crazy. He was certifiably nutritionally crazy. He would like eat like grilled chicken. That was like all he would eat. Like grilled chicken. He's like, he doesn't like vegetables. He didn't like the crust on bread. So he's like, basically he subsists off of like grilled chicken breast on white bread with the crust cut off and like some mayonnaise on them. That's all he eats ever. It must be, because I can't think.
Well,
of
he likes cheese apparently he does grilled cheese sandwiches.
It's a chicken sandwich with cheese.
Yeah.
It sounds delicious to me.
They'll do that at Wendy's, by the way. Get it if they offer it.
At your nemesis, the Wendy's.
Hi, Dubious Intent guys.
This is
Joe in Dallas calling, and I'm calling for the celebrity death phone. Joe Alasky, voice talent that took over after Mel Blanc for most of the Looney Tunes characters, including Bugs Bunny and Yosemite Sam and many others, pass away. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon.
Well, you too, Joe. Thank you for calling.
He doesn't know what to add. Wait, now how do I end this? I can't really say goodbye because it's a death call, so I can't really.
Well, you could say goodbye.
Bye-bye, all right. Dead person. I'm assuming we're giving him that yes.
Yeah.
We love to hear from Joe in Dallas. We don't hear from Joe in Dallas enough.
If you go to a funeral, I mean, you get in line, you know, you say sorry for your loss.
Right.
See you later.
Yeah. Now, the Joe in Dallas, by the way, contributed one of the news stories tonight. Well, I'll leave it to listeners to figure out which of the stories he donated or he suggested for tonight. Anyway, so I see here that, go ahead and do the thing.
Which one do you want me to do?
Any of them.
Okay. So, since you have a television shows one, I'm going to do the other one.
See, but then, the television shows is kind of, I was just wanted to talk about some of these new television shows. Because I know there's one that I would, you know, that I've been watching, I think that you would really like. But we don't have to talk.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that, but we can. Anyway, just, I don't know. If we go long, then we can drop that. So go ahead and talk about whatever you want. It doesn't matter.
So Sundays.
Sundays.
Are grocery shopping day. Although, it's not really a good day to shop for groceries because everybody shops for groceries on Sundays. It's the day before the beginning of the week. Everyone wants to prepare for their, you know. Then here in the South, in the Bible Belt, everyone goes to church. They get off church. They go to Golden Corral or wherever, have their lunch. And then they go and do their grocery shopping. It's just the thing, right?
Do they still do that?
Yeah.
Is that still a thing? Because I remember as a kid.
In fact, we have a Golden Corral right by the Walmart.
All rings true to me because my grandmother, when we would go up and visit my grandmother in the summers, that was like every day of the week had a place that you went and a thing that you did.
Yeah.
And the Sundays was the, you had to go to the church and then you have to right after the church service and you went to, you know, one of five places. And there was like, you can go to the Morrison's or you could go to the local seafood place or you could go to the, you know, all of course, I'm sure all the local ones were owned by good Methodists or whatever, but I'm just saying that, you know, it was like, so you just went to these restaurants and then the same people that you just sat in church service with would all be there at these restaurants.
Yes.
Every Sunday. It was just, I thought maybe that was just like a thing that had, no, you know, for old people that had died out.
It happens.
Because I never see that.
So anyway, so Sunday is, it's a very busy day. So, but we, for some reason, we cannot. And now Walmart has, because we grocery shop at Walmart, I get a discount, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so, and so it's not a huge discount, but.
But if they suggest it, you turn it down. You're just like.
That's right. That's right.
Would you like to run your employee card for that discount? No, because you asked.
So anyway, we do our grocery shopping on Sundays. So we, even though Walmart now has this pickup where you can order it online and then you can go and drive through.
Oh, really?
That's yeah, nice. You can do that. Now, it's not rolled out to all states yet, but it will be right. at some point.
What does that cost?
It doesn't cost anything.
Oh, because like we have a local grocery store here that will let you do that. Like you can order online and you can either have it delivered for a charge or you can pick it up in the store that same day. So it's like they'll go in through the store and you get there and you go to the back and they have your cart in the cooler and they just, here's your cart.
It's similar, but you don't even go in the store. You just drive through. There's literally a drive through lane and anyway.
Wow.
So, and we don't have delivery yet, but I'm sure that'll come at some point as well. But anyway, but you have to think in advance to forget. And then we're like, oh, we need groceries now. So we got to get, anyway. So we go and this is going to sound a little ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
But I have a gift card with Walmart. I have like $45.
Yes.
And I've been trying to put any extra gift cards or anything like that on Amazon so that I can buy, you know, any of the Amazon-y stuff that I need to buy. Mm-hmm. And usually the technology stuff that I want to buy, they don't have at Walmart.com. And so anyway, so for months, I've been trying to spend this $45 on groceries so that I can then take $45 out of my bank account and put it in Amazon. Yes. I don't want to do that until I spend, I want to... Groceries for Amazon. You know, I mean, I want to trade the two.
You don't spend $45 in groceries?
No, it's not that.
Oh.
I've been trying to spend this gift card.
Yes.
So I've gone multiple times and you get an email that has a barcode. Mm-hmm. And I usually go through self-checkout and I never can get the dadgum thing to scan that barcode. So the last time I went, it wouldn't scan it. And then I was going to try some other thing and then my phone died. And then, okay, Walmart introduced a new thing called Walmart Pay. It's supposed to like replace Apple Pay. I have no idea. But anyway, so if you have the Walmart app, you can pull up the app. You have access to your gift cards. You can put your debit card on there, whatever. It's supposed to be really easy. So I went to self-checkout last week and I was like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to spend this $45. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to put money on Amazon. And then I get up there and I can't get it to work. You're supposed to scan this barcode into your phone and it's supposed to, you know, whatever.
Right.
And it won't scan. Like it will not scan. And then guess what happens? My phone dies. So then this week,
and
I was
like, you wonder why no one calls the tech segment and asks for you.
So this week. All right. And this, by the way,
it's that damn Wendy's. It's been draining my cell phone battery. I know it. It's like Wendy's sneaks in there when I'm not looking and damn you, Wendy's.
It's not my fault that the barcode wouldn't scan. Anyway, so.
How's that wireless charger working out for you, Adam?
I'm like, okay.
Your phone has died in two occasions.
Oh, no. That was my old phone.
Okay.
That was before I switched. Anyway, so today I thought, okay, here's what I'm going to do.
Yes.
I'm going to go to a checkout with a person.
Yes. I highly suggest
they can help me.
Yes.
They can, on their cash register, they can work their magic and I won't have to do that. Right?
They can do that.
So I get in the line. Well, it's a really busy day because everyone.
Well, every day's busy at Walmart, Adam. It's the world's largest retailer.
Sunday, everyone's doing their grocery shopping and Super Bowl was starting in 2 hours.
Right.
So everyone needed their nachos.
Oh, so that's today. So you were there today.
Yeah, I was there today. So I get in the line and I'm like, okay. So, and before that, you know the Coinstar? You know the Coinstar machines where you...
Yeah, you give it your coins and it will spit you back 10% less.
Well, yeah. So I had all these coins and I was like, you know what? I'm going to get rid of those. So I put them in a Ziploc bag and I took them and I got the...
Like, you're going to see the little machine inside there going, there's one dime for you, one penny for me, one dime for you, one penny for me.
Exactly. So I got $10 and a voucher. And so first I was like, I get up to the thing. And the line is building behind me. There's this huge line, you know. And I was like, okay. So first I want to tell you I need can you take this voucher from the Coinstar and take that, you know, take that off first?
Yes.
And then I want to pay using Walmart Pay. And she's like, with what? And I said, with Walmart Pay. What's that? And I'm like, you know, it's on the Walmart app. It's like Apple Pay. You can, she's like, oh, I don't mess with that kind of stuff. She's a Walmart associate. She has no, and the line is building up behind me. Mm-hmm. So she says, don't worry. I called a manager. Manager's going to come up. The line's getting longer.
Right.
But she's checking. She's still, at this point, she was actually ringing up some of my items. So right. That was okay. Right. The manager comes up and she says, have you heard of this Walmart Pay? She's like, oh yeah, but you know what? They're still testing that out and we can't get it to work here. She's like, but if you want, I'll try it. I'll try it for you. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so we get to the end of my thing and she's like, okay. And she's like, oh, no. He wanted to scan this Coinstar thing. So they had to back out something and then scan the thing.
I knew the Coinstar came in somewhere there. I was like, oh, he set this up. It must play an important part later in this riveting tale.
There are people behind me, you know, doing that thing like they do when a grandma's trying to write a check. You know what I'm talking about? You know, that face that people make.
Why? See, this is so weird because why would you feel that they're mad at you? Like when I'm in a store and there's a really long line, my immediate thought is that the cashier is incompetent, right? It's like, I don't assume that someone who's just trying to check out their damn groceries is incompetent, right? Unless I'm right next to them and I'm in earshot where they say something like, oh, I would like to pay for this in pennies or some, you know, stupid thing like, will you cash a personal check? And you're like, right. or some weird thing. It's like, if I hear that and I'm right next to them, they're like, oh, God.
So
right, but I don't understand why you
but,
think
you know, they're thinking. Oh my God, he has to use his coin.
Wait,
voucher.
No. Why would they? They can't hear what's going on up there. All they see is the cashier's like sitting there going,
"I don't. Do you know what's going on, Bob? There's no, I don't know what's going on.
I so guarantee then, you, the rage is focused at the Walmart employees at this point.
So then, well, I'm a Walmart employee, you know, face of the company. So anyway, she says, but we'll try it. You know, it's not been working, but we'll try it.
Good for her.
She does her little thing, right?
Yep.
And this QR code comes up on the debit card reader.
Right.
And I'm supposed to scan it. Doesn't work. Gives me an error message. Please try again or pay with another type of, mm-hmm. or pay with something else.
Thank you for using WallPay. So please try again or try some other way to pay us.
Yeah. So then she tries one more time and I was like, you know what? Screw it. So I'll just pay with my debit card. It's fine. So once again, I'm thwarted.
I have a solution for you, but let's take this phone call first. Yes, hello.
Hey, guys. This is Mags listening to the after show and browsing Facebook. Found a somehow overlooked celebrity death phone. Singer Joe Cocker has died at age 70. Maybe they said that, and I just couldn't understand a word anybody was saying. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But there you go.
Actually, Joe Cocker died in December of 2014.
Oh, okay.
Love lifted him up. Where
do you think that Mags is just trying to, you know, get one over on us now?
I don't know. I think maybe Mags was, I don't know, high on schnapps. I imagine he would be drinking the peppermint schnapps, and he's high on it, and so he's just like, you know, making crazy calls.
So anyway, then so it was a fail. So then I get out to the car.
Oh, wow.
And I was talking to Mark, and I was like, you know what? If I hadn't been so pressured by those people behind me...
those people who are not doing anything to you. It's just like,
the original way that I was going to do it was pull up the barcode in the email. Mm-hmm. And I bet she could have done that. I bet she even knew what that was. But I get kind of frustrated with my company because let me tell you, I don't have a clear way to give them displeasure with my transactions at my own store. There's no clear path, no like suggestion box or like, right. form or person I can call. So when I go into work tomorrow, mm-hmm. I'll have to, if I really want to complain to someone and see if we can get this fixed, I'll have to figure out which manager deals with yada yada, all that, send an email to someone. It'll never do, it won't do any good. And it's my own company.
Yeah, but you know, have you ever tried to use Google Pay, Apple Pay, any of them?
No.
So nowadays, you have probably a 75% chance of it actually working, right? So it's like at where we are now, right now, like if you go into a Walgreens or a place that has it, and for the most part, it's going to work, and the people working the cash register kind of know you know, how it's supposed to work. But when it first came out, it was just like, you know, no, you know, even though they were set up to use it, it was pretty much like you were, you know, it was all trial and error. Like Macy's had Google Pay. They would take Android Pay, which at the time was called Google Pay, but their cash registers were set up, but it needs the internet to complete the, you know, the checksumming stuff. And their cash registers were in a spot that had no cell signals. So it was just kind of,
so
there was no way for it to do any, you know, it was just kind of, but no one could figure that out. Right. It was just like, it just became, so it was like, then you just gave up on doing it. So it was like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where we're going with payments and stuff, but it's just like, at this point in time, you know.
Well, I was just irritated because this is an associate of the store.
Right. But even now where they're switching over to the pins, right? So it's like half of the stores I go to now, I need to put my card in and let it read the pin. I mean, let it read the chip, right? And then the other half, even though my chip, you know, my cards all have chips on them, and they're like, oh, no, we still swipe here. And it's just kind of like, it's all crazy.
And Cyclone in the chat room says Walmart Pay sounds like a redneck Bitcoin. No, I have to respond to this. The method which you pay is almost identical to Google Pay, Apple Pay, Android Pay, that was the same thing. But anyway, the mechanism is almost identical. And might I remind you that Walmart is the largest company in the world. How dare you call us rednecks?
That's the part that you got offended by was the redneck part, not the fact that it's like, yeah, I bet you Walmart's going to skim 10% off every transaction.
Do you know how
but
little?
But you zeroed in, like a laser focus zeroed in on the redneck part of that one.
Does
like,
he know or she know how few of the employees are actually rednecks? It's ridiculous.
Do you have that statistic handy?
No, I don't. But we employ more people than anybody else. Do you think that they're all rednecks? It's crazy. But I love you. And I'm glad you're in the chat room.
Rednecks Right platform is Adam Burns in the Redneck Rights platform. I don't know.
Do you think the Japanese employees in the Japanese Walmart are rednecks? The Canadian ones? The ones in Walmart de Mexico or whatever it's called?
Wow. You're. You're just not having it tonight.
No, I'm not. I'm sorry. I must be. Sorry, I apologize. But I'm funnier when I'm kind of pissed off. Less boring.
Hey guys, this is Mags, celebrity death phone call. Uh-huh. Maurice White, who starred apparently as a session drummer and ended up founding Earth, Wind, and Fire, has died at 74. I can't say for certain I know what they sang, but I'd certainly heard of them, so I thought I'd call it in. Bye.
Oh my God, how dare you, Max? First of all, yes, Maurice White did die this past week, but for you, Max, how dare you not know who Earth, Wind, and Fire is? Well, I mean, you may know it, but you're like, you don't know what they sang. You've never heard Earth, Wind, and Fire. They are, what were they? They, let's see. This is Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know this one, right, Adam?
I'm sure I will in a second, but I don't think you picked the most famous one.
Well, no, I mean, that is one of their most famous ones. Just, let's see, you probably know this one. Everyone knows this one. Right.
Yeah, that one I know.
Earth, Wind, and Fire was an amazing group in the sense that they had, you would like this, Adam, they're a brass group.
Yes.
Really. I mean, they had
I really like them. In fact, when I was in, marching band from the time I was like 12 until I graduated college. Mm-hmm. And we played a lot of Earth, Wind, and Fire. They liked to arrange Earth, Wind, and Fire songs for marching bands.
Oh, yeah, because they were like a seven piece band or something, or a four.
Yeah.
Yeah. Five. So somewhere between five and seven. I'm not sure which ones.
A lot of brass.
Yeah.
Them in Chicago. Both.
Hard to say you're sorry. See, that was a Chicago joke. That was a Chicago musical joke, which we should get that. By the way, speaking of that musical, that is, of course, stolen from the Seder Sphere. I stole that line from him, from his mystery musical. Next week, this next Sunday, is Valentine Day.
It is Valentine Day.
And you will be off with Mittens doing things on the Valentine's Day. So we were like, Who other than Daniel is
single?
He's recently single and available on Valentine's Day. That wouldn't have other things planned. And we were like, aha, Scott the Satyr is a good choice. Nice. So next Sunday, Scott the Satyr will be here. He won't be here. He'll be there. He'll be in your spot next Sunday night. So.
And you're both cat turning into old cat ladies. You're both.
I was so impressed. He posted a picture of Gustafur. Gustafur is Scott's cat. And he has this cat, adorable cat. But he posted a picture the other day on Facebook that Gustafur had his head tucked on the edge of what looked to be like a frozen dinner, like a frozen mac and cheese dinner. And there was still some stuff inside. You know what I'm saying? Like there was still mac and cheese like around the insides of it. It's like, oh my God, what is that cat? I must have that because there's no possible way any amount of food could be that close to one of my cats without it being gone. It's just like, they wouldn't just like, so fall asleep next to a plate of food and go, oh, no, I don't want to eat that. I'll just lay here and look.
Is he so adorable that you might could actually call him adorbs?
He is. He's super adorbs.
So, oh, good.
Yes. Oh, I'm getting a complaint from the chat room that it's St. Valentine's Day.
Well,
I don't. It makes sense. It's one of those things. But then you hear it, in it, whatever. I'm not, you know, whatever.
So. I'm going to say my X-Files thing. I really don't have much to say about them, and you said I should talk about it, but I really don't have a lot to say.
Well, we could talk about the television shows next week if you want. That's fine.
But we can talk. I'm saying I don't have a lot to say about X-Files. If you have a lot to say.
Oh, no, I don't have a lot to say. Well, I wonder if this person has anything to say.
Yeah, hi, guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone.
Yeah.
Actor Mike Minor, dead at 75. Played Steve Elliott on Petticoat Junction. Okay, bye.
Let's see.
He really did die. I did Google that one because I didn't. I can't understand. I have to Google RT Cruisers because I can't understand his accent.
Right, it's very
difficult. And I never know what he's saying.
Very difficult.
So,
Buck is a wallaby.
So since it's on there, I will say, okay, everyone, I've been watching
X-Files. Yes.
And I just want to say I love Gillian Anderson. I mean, she could do no wrong. She can do no wrong to me because I love her.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I'll say about it. I feel like they fell right back into their characters. The chemistry is still there. If you like X-Files, like if you are an X-Files fan.
Yes.
This is X-Files. Like this is, it's not weird. It's like they just, you know, started off. Oh, I love that theme song too. I love it. I get chills.
Chills.
When I hear that, chills.
Are they multiplying?
They are. That's a joke.
Are you
I'm
losing
sure
control? That was Olivia Newton-John. Come on.
Okay.
Or was that? Was that? Wait. No, that was John Travolta.
Is that in Greece? Because
I think it was John Travolta. Because
the company that does our cable and does the wonderful internet service that I have.
Yeah.
Was having a dispute with the local Fox station, and they basically shut off Fox.
Wow!
For a week,
from
my TV, so I couldn't watch Grease live because we didn't have Fox.
You can watch it online.
Well, that's true. I could, but I don't. I didn't have it to record on my DVR. But
no, I'm saying on YouTube they have. If you go to the Fox channel on YouTube, they have it up there. You can just watch it on YouTube.
I'm gonna watch it because it was the first one. What I've heard a lot of people's complaints about those. A lot of people. I've only seen Grease. I've never seen Grease.
No, people don't know that the chat room is giving you a hard time that you didn't know the Grease lyrics.
Sorry, anyway. The chat room's giving a hard time that I didn't know.
what was X-Files. All this going towards? Oh, the X-Files. Now it's not over though, right?
No. There are three more, and it got the ratings it's been getting are like. The first night, it was like twice as much as any of the other shows, like on any of the stations.
Yeah.
It did drop off after that, but it's still the highest. It's got the highest ratings of like any show on Fox at the moment, which actually isn't that hard. But I really like it. I'm not a TV analyst, so I can't really say other than.
Nobody's asking you to like explain whether the gaffer did a good job or not.
Right.
It's like, the lighting was a little bit off in the second act of. No, but do you like
I do. I really am enjoying it.
I watched the X-Files casually when it first came out. I've never actually sat down and really watched the X-Files
binge watched nine seasons or something. And
so I don't know. I know that, I haven't been rushing to watch this new one because I feel like there's nine seasons and they're probably talking about something that I won't have any clue what they're talking about.
Not really, because it's kind of a starter. It's kind of a, with the same characters, it's kind of a, so Mulder is, Fox Mulder, he's David Duchovny.
I'm aware.
He is. He is at a point where he no longer believes.
Right. He's drunk and he's teaching college, right? And then he had sex with that girl who punched him in the face. And then he wrote a book about it, which she stole. And then she got basically the publishing rights and she got known as this great author for writing this book. And he couldn't say anything because, of course, she was under 18, which would have like meant that if he had admitted to the fact that this was actually a story about
Greece
the night
again,
that they had.
And I'm supposed to know.
Oh, no, this is Californication, which is what.
OK, I haven't seen that. But anyway, so he doesn't believe anymore, but he wants to believe.
Right.
So neither one of them are in the FBI at the beginning, and then they get called back in and yada, yada. There's a new story. But anyway,
yes.
If you love X-Files, mm-hmm. you will love it.
What if you just liked X-Files? What if you like, you didn't love it? You'll like it.
Okay. I mean, it's good. I think it's good.
Good.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about it.
I wanted to talk to you about some of the other television shows. What the fuck? We're already here. All I just wanted to know if you're watching any of these.
You asked me about that one, and I'm going to, but I haven't gotten
a chance. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. All right, so yeah, I highly suggest that you watch American Crime. I think you would particularly like that. Mm-hmm. Also, the subject matter this season is amazing, so watch American Crime if you get a chance.
Here is my criteria for watching a new show.
Yes.
Is it going to be canceled?
It doesn't matter because American Crime, each season is one thing all the way through. So each season is a completely different cast. So it's like it's a different crime story from beginning to end over the entire season. So it doesn't matter if it gets canceled. You will have resolution of that. You know, that season will be resolved and then next season will be something completely new.
Okay. What channel is it?
I have no idea. Channel? What the fuck is a channel? I don't know.
Fox, it's NBC, ABC, CBS.
I have no fucking clue. You type in you type in American Crime on your DVR. You just search it. American Crime. It looks like ABC according to the interwebs. It is on ABC. The main character, younger character on this show was Ben on Falling Skies. So just for those of you who may know what that is.
So American Crime has a 1.05 rating for 18 to 49 year olds. And it is a toss up for renew or cancel.
Okay, it doesn't matter. The point is I didn't watch last season, so I don't know if last season sucked or not. What I do know is that this season is about a boy who was sexually assaulted at a basketball party. These are all high school kids. He was sexually assaulted at the basketball party and his mother is like, picking up this whole rape case against, that he was the way that he was roofied basically. And then his picture.
Oh, I saw like 5 minutes of one of those episodes.
But then it just takes this hard turn where it's just like, oh shit. And it's just like, and they're like, they're not afraid of anything here. They're like going for this stuff because it's like, you know, it turns out, spoiler alert, turns out that it's like, you know, this whole, no, I'm not even going to tell you. Just watch
it.
Just
watch
it.
Well,
it's really good.
Mittens might like that as well. So we'll watch it together.
So I don't know about previous season. I just know that this season with the gay character and this whole thing it's worth a gay person watching. It's just, it's fascinating to watch. Anyway.
Anything? Well, there was a list, so I'm assuming you have something.
Oh, I was just looking at my DVR here. There's some stuff that has just recently started that is actually quite good sci-fi wise. I was just curious if you had watched. There's a new one from half of the guy from Lost. So it's Carlton Cruce.
Are you talking about The Expanse?
No, that's a different one though. But are you watching The Expanse?
So we watched the first episode of The Expanse and Mark was not thrilled, so I'm gonna have to watch it by myself, but I do want to watch it.
It is based off of a series of books, so it has a lot of lore behind it, and it's kind of like one of those things that like the first three episodes are trying to get you established in their universe.
He said he was so confused by the first episode.
Because it's like you've got the Mars against Earth against the Spacers, and then you have, you know, different political parties, and it's like, and that is the driving, you know, that is the canvas of which the entire story is told, so they have to kind of like give you a crash course in the first three episodes of kind of like these are the political elements in play here that are different from, let's say, like, you know, nowadays. So,
right.
Anyway, but no, it's a really good.
The Lost Guy, though, you were saying a show by the Lost Guy.
Colony. It's only had about four episodes.
Watching that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's actually pretty good.
We're enjoying that.
Yep. And then there's like this other one, Second Chance. I don't know if you've been watching this one.
No, I haven't heard of that.
Brand new. It's really good. And then,
is that by the creators of The Fosters or something?
It could be. Which, by the way, The Fosters is really good this season, too.
He's, you know what? He's watching one that I bet you would like called Younger, because you seem to like those ABC Disney-esque
shows. No longer called ABC Family. Yeah, it's called Freeform or some fucking... Yeah, I don't even know what the fuck he's like.
You should watch Younger. It's about... Anyway.
When the slogan for your new name is the new name for ABC Family. Maybe that implies that your title has nothing to do with your brand. I'm just saying. Why not ABC Freeform? But no, just Freeform. A new name for ABC Family.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wanted to be a fly on the wall in that meeting. Anyway, that's it. That was just boring. I was just curious if you had
But speaking of TV, did you see that bigwig?
The bigwig. Hold on. Let's just get through this real quick. Hello.
Hey guys, this is Mags, and Archie Cruiser suggested I call this in. I wasn't thinking about it, but why not? Wrestler Axel Rotten, dead at 44. Not so much known to WWE, but more to ECW and hardcore fans, which is why I was kind of against it. But what the heck, we might as well give it a try. So there you go.
There you go. Hoisted by our own petards here, Adam, we said, of course, that we would accept wrestling things that are called in from Mags.
That's true. We did.
So he is the person that knows everything there is to know about wrestling, and we believe him because Mags would never lie to us. So there you go. Axel Rotten, dead. Exciting, isn't it?
It is exciting. Sorry, I'm listening to a... Why do you people call in death calls like 5 minutes before the show starts?
I'm not playing any more birth death calls tonight. Anyway, okay. Yeah, let's just wait. I forgot our new lineup. Okay, I know what the lineup is now. So we do this next. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going.
It's because you're...
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Jora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yeah!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Dubious Intent birthday segment, the segment of the show where Adam will play a musical cue for somebody's birthday, and I, using only my head brain and mouth words, will figure out whose birthday it is, unless I get stumped, in which case I'll totally cheat and look at the chat room, who always know these things way ahead of me. Adam, what is our first musical cue this evening?
So these may be a little bit difficult this week.
Ooh.
I know I've said that. I've said that quite a bit recently.
Upping the difficulty factor.
Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Here is our first musical cue.
Whoa!
Let's
see. Sounds very newsy. Maybe military. This is a TV theme song that I don't think I've ever seen this TV show. So it sounds very pretty.
Now, think of the 1980s nighttime soap operas.
Yeah, there was Falcon Crest, there was Dallas, there was...
The first one that you said.
Falcon Crest?
Yes, Falcon Crest.
That is the theme to Falcon Crest?
Falcon Crest.
Wow. You know, I know it with the words, though.
Okay.
You were flying in the sky like a falcon. Don't land on that crest. It made more sense than in the original Taiwan. Oh, this is another TV show.
It is a TV show.
I can tell it's from the 70s because you hear that wicked guitar in the background. That
it's not the 70s because this was after Falcon Crest.
Really?
Well, during Falcon Crest,
I could have sworn that this would have been like, you know, that that kind of disco-y sound. You just need those swirling violins falling down in the.
Now, you I've never heard of this show, so you probably haven't either. The name of the show is Flamingo Road, and it's a soap opera about some people in Florida. And then here is our last one for that this person.
Oh. This is the theme to Friends.
It is the theme to Friends. So this person was in Falcon Crest.
Yes.
A show called Flamingo Road.
Flamingo Road.
And was a minor character in Friends. A parent of one of the Friends.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, he must have been a parent. So the only thing I can remember from Falcon Crest was the patriarch of the family, Mr. Falcon or whatever.
Mr. Falcon?
Whatever. Wasn't it a show about the vineyard or like the Falcon Crest vineyard? And
I think it was only because of the... I've never seen Falcon Crest. I used to watch Knott's Landing. I used to watch Knott's Landing, which is the only one of those nighttime soaps that I actually got into.
As I have pointed, because as soon as I say that I watch these things and I get like, you know, messages from Joe Batanz just like ragging on my... As a kid, we had one television, and as the youngest, I didn't decide what was on that television. It's like I was at the mercy of older people in the room. So the fact that I've seen Dukes of Hazzard, the fact that I've seen Dukes of Hazzard was not any statement on my taste. That happened to be what was on the TV that I had to watch.
So there you go. So that's
I have no idea. All I know is Mr. Falcon, and I can't think of his name. He's a character actor, and he's got a gruff voice.
So let's just say that you didn't get that one. So go ahead and play that.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
But I'm going to give you another clue.
Oh God.
You normally use this person to say, "There's minus the age of this person."
You Skyped out in the middle of that. Say that again.
You usually use this part. You used to. There was a meme going on the show where you would say. This many years younger than
Morgan Freeman,
but the other one, the other one that is also
don't remember
Morgan Fairchild.
Oh, Morgan Fairchild.
The whole Morgan Freeman thing started.
Well,
when we said it was Morgan Fairchild.
And I meant, oh my God, that's, I don't even know who Morgan Fairchild is. I think she was,
wasn't she like on a game show? She's really famous just for being attractive.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's anyway. All right, here's the next one. Honey. Oh, sorry. She's,
she was please.
Hold on. She is 66. Okay, here's the next one.
Go to get dressed for me now, please.
No, Agador. Victoria Page will not dance the dance of the red shoes tonight.
This is from, the Birdcage. Okay?
Victoria Page. It is. And from
that would be a conversation between one Nathan Lane and one, is it Hank Azaria?
I think so.
Yeah.
He was the Agador, the really hot maid. Okay.
Yeah. Also, he did a lot of voices on The Simpsons, by the way. He's a well-known character actor or a voice actor.
Just like Cain and Abel.
That you pulled the sneak is the undeniably nasally, hideous chalk, hands on a chalkboard sound of one Nathan Lane.
It is Nathan Lane. Yes. So Nathan Lane, that's the producers, by the way. I'm sure Sater... we'll have
Sater,
seen
is way past Sater's bedtime, but he's here because, you know, he's guest hosting next week. So he wanted to kind of see how the show goes, he's conditioning himself.
Yeah. He doesn't actually listen. So he wanted to see how, you know,
it's like that week before the big eating contest where you just like stuff yourself with food, just to stretch your stomach out. He's stretching his eyelids out, staying up, stretching his stomach.
Yeah. I keep hitting anyway. Nathan Lane, that was the producers. So that was Birdcage and the producers. And
it was unimportant because I won.
Is 60 years old.
60 years old.
All right. Here is our next one.
I love it. And where he goes, I'll follow him.
I know that this is from a musical.
The key is what movie this is from. I know. Not your singing. Why don't you know what movie this is from?
Is it Dreamgirls?
I love him. And where he goes, I'll follow.
Is it Dreamgirls?
It's not.
Why don't I know this?
There's a bunch of nuns dancing.
Oh, Sister Act. Oh, Sister Act. Okay. Sister Act. Got it. Wow.
All right. So Sister Act.
Got it.
This person was in Sister Act.
All right. And?
And here's another one.
This is Hill.
Tom Landry Middle School needs you, Peggy.
Yes!
I know this. This is from King of the Hill.
It is King of the Hill.
And that...
Everybody, sit down. On to life.
No, that's Peggy Hill.
Yes, it is.
Which lucky girls? Is Kathy Najimy the voice of yeah. Is it Kathy Najimy?
It is.
Kathy Najimy.
It
actually,
is.
Yeah.
Kathy Najimy. Yes.
I was just like, I was getting confused between what's her name from Futurama.
Sorry, like, it's hard to.
I was just like, wait, no, that's Katie Seagal, isn't it? That does Peggy Hill. But then, no, that's Kathy Najimy. I love Kathy Najimy. She's a hilarious a comedian, by the way. Some of her solo stuff is just absolutely hilarious.
I thought that one was going to be hard because I didn't know, but yeah, I figured she is 59 years old.
59 years young.
And yes. She did, she was Peggy on King of the Hill. She mm-hmm. was in Sister Act. She has done a lot of like bit part type. I don't even know if I want to say
that. I think HBO had the Kathy and Mo show for a couple of seasons, and that was her and Mo Gaffney.
All right, this is your weekly YouTuber.
Okay, my weekly YouTuber sounds like a bit.
That
is there any theme song to it?
Oh my God, here we go, intro music, and here we go, yeah, being Ape at Homo, woo, yeah, Monster Cap, please approve my license, boom, 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 intro music, yeah.
Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of How to Be a Minecraft YouTuber. Today I'm going to teach you how to become the amazing lady herself, Stacy Plays. You guys don't know who Stacy is, or you've never seen her
all right.
channel?
Now, see, this is that non-YouTuber thing. These are game-tubers, this is why,
Well, he's gay.
Okay, but this is from his gaming channel. Does he have a
8-bit? No, the name of his channel is 8-bit Homo.
Yeah, I don't know because I don't watch gaming channels. I watch content channel like this. So it's like you can play all of those famous gamer tubers out there, and I won't know them.
All right. Well, I'm just because I don't watch. I don't know who the famous YouTubers are.
Who is it? Who is it? Tell me his name.
His name is. Dylan Zayner.
There we go. Don't
yeah,
know.
Dylan, and he's kind of a twink.
Again, I don't watch.
He's 25 years old.
I don't right. watch YouTube channels because of their twinks. I
come
watch
on,
them because the content is good.
Who are you trying to convince here, Daniel? That's all I'm saying.
There are so many things on my subscription list. Ugh. Is this like Hank Williams?
It's not, but it is country.
Then it's the other one. If it's not Hank Williams Jr., it's the other one.
the other one because, okay, one more. Although this is not going to help you.
It's like Merle Haggard or something.
But I'll give you one more.
I don't know. It's like there's certain names that you can say in country music. They're like, yeah, that guy. Is this the same person?
Yes, it is.
Wow. I don't know. Then it's not the other one.
He's probably the most famous male country artist of the past.
Well, I just named Merle Haggard and Hank Williams Jr.
Newer, though.
The guy from Blake Shelton.
No, he retired because he went to raise his family, and he just came back last year.
Oh my God!
He was like
I have no idea. Garth Brooks
yes,
says
Garth
the chat
Brooks,
room. Says the chat
the
room.
Chat
I did.
Room. Garth
I
Brooks.
Right.
It's Garth Brooks.
You could have just said he had a gay sister. Then I would have known it was Garth Brooks.
All right. Last
could have said
one.
Trisha Yearwood's husband.
Here is our last birthday, other than Pride 48 birthdays. That is.
This sounds like Boston Legal.
Sounds like what?
Boston Legal?
This is not Boston Legal.
Oh, this is the one that preceded that one, isn't it? This is The Practice?
It is The Practice.
Yes, The Practice.
And
By the way, Boston Legal was a spinoff of The Practice.
Well, and here is the next one.
Boston Legal, obviously.
That is Boston
Which,
Legal.
Which, by the way, it was a spinoff. Well, the only two the characters that they spun off of that one was, Alan Shore, the played by, what's his name? Played by that guy.
He's also in The
yeah,
Blacklist.
The Blacklist, that guy.
Yeah.
His name escapes me at the moment, but I know him.
His last name would be a suit in a deck of cards.
Spader. James Spader.
It is James Spader. I don't know if you heard that, but.
I knew who it was. Yes.
All right. James Alan Spader Jones. Is really not attractive anymore.
Oh.
And I thought he was. But he is now 56 years old.
56 years old.
And those are our celebrity birthdays. But we may have some Pride 48 birthdays. If you think that they're an actual Pride 48 person that you know personally, you might read
they
it on the show.
They don't have to know them personally. Yes.
So whose birthdays might it be? Daniel.
We only have one, John in Wisconsin. So happy birthday on the 9th for John in Wisconsin.
Happy birthday, John.
That's it. That's all we have.
Great job! Thank you so much for helping me sing my way to La Fiesta.
By the way, James Spader was also in Stargate.
See you soon. Hasta luego.
Was he? He was the original Dr. Daniel Jackson, I think.
Test tube meat is getting closer to leaving the lab and being served on our plates. Memphis Meats, which grows meat from animal cells, says it hopes to have its animal-free products on the market in 3 to 4 years and has unveiled the first lab-grown meatball to the public.
Wow. Now, are you familiar with this?
Well, I mean, I remember the story a couple of years ago where they had the first lab-grown hamburger patty or something like that.
Yep.
It doesn't really look that much like meat, I'm going to say.
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, Sergey Brin has donated a significant amount of money to one of those startups of making, like, you know, the chicken out of, like, so it's fake chicken, but it's kind of made from fungus, but it's grown in such a way that it actually has, you know, structures that mimic muscle fiber so that the tear feels the same as chicken. And people that eat it say that it's indistinguishable from chicken.
But doesn't everything taste like chicken?
Could be. But here's the thing, Adam, is, you know, we have this planet and we can, you know, we can't really feed every single person with the amount of animals that they would need to all eat meat and to actually be sustainable as our population continues to grow. It's just we don't have those resources. So we can either leave the planet and go colonize other places, or we can maybe find other ways to eat that doesn't require, you know, more animals. So
that's true. And I don't have a problem with it. I think they need to work on it a little bit more because it doesn't taste.
It
may taste wonderful, but it's so basically what was I gonna say? I'm fine with
chat,
it.
But chat this, room is like fungus chicken.
but let me tell you, I feel like these people, like the people who are like in PETA,
yes,
you know, and all that. They're still going to have a problem with this because they're using animal cells.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care if they have a problem. My point is, you know, I don't care about that. Right? It's like I eat, you know, beef because I like the taste of beef. Right? If there was some substitute that tasted exactly the same as beef, then yeah, I would. If it was cheaper, and then I would eat it. Right? And it tasted the same. Does that make any sense? It's like I'm not in this for a political argument or whatever. I'm just saying that it's like sustainability wise. You know, as our population of this planet continues to grow, to have that many, you know, that much livestock on the planet, he's like, we don't have enough room for both all the livestock we would need and all the people.
So this is kind of interesting. I'm going to tell you guys how they do this. So in order to grow meat in a lab.
From Wendy's, the fungus burger.
Yeah, but if I go through the drive-thru and they say, hi, and welcome to Wendy's, fungus burger today? I'd be like, no.
They have meetings about you. It's like, you know how they have those morning meetings before they open the store and everything? Yes. And they have like your picture up. And it's like, now remember, if you see him today, figure out some way to screw him over.
So they begin by isolating cow and pig cells that have the ability to regenerate and provide the cells with oxygen and nutrients such as sugars and minerals.
Yeah.
These cells develop inside a bioreactor tank
yes.
into skeletal muscle that can be harvested
yep.
in between 9 and 21 days. And no animals are slaughtered in making the meat. Right. The firm does use fetal bovine serum from unborn calves, blood and blood to initiate the process.
Well, that's cool. I like that. So, I mean, it's like, to me, that's, I don't know what would be, you know, that would solve all the arguments, right? It's like, I don't know how you could say that would be inhumane. We're no longer slaughtering cows to have meat. We're just growing the muscles, right? We're just growing the meat. There's no actual cow that was like birthed into being or whatever. We just basically use some stem cells to make, you know, muscle meat, right?
I was going to say it'll be the whole stem cell argument again.
I don't give a shit, though. I don't care about that. I mean, it's like, that's a failed and dying. At some point in time, it's kind of like, you know, people that have really picky cats or whatever. Oh, my cat will only eat tuna that I like hand feed to her. Otherwise, she won't have anything to do with it. It's like, if you like leave those cats alone for a few days, they'll eat. It's like, if they get hungry enough, they'll eat. It's like, I think like a lot of the whole animal rights movements and a lot of the really, really radical things like that are born out of the comfort of, we live in a world where there's enough to eat, right? It's like, if we were truly starving and the only way out was to eat that chicken, I doubt 99% of those, you know, PETA folks would stick to their guns, right? They're going to eat the chicken.
Watch Naked and Afraid and watch when a vegetarian goes on there.
But again, it's an argument made out of comfort, right? It's one thing to stand there and say, I will never, ever in my life eat a piece of chicken if it's the last thing I do. And then another thing to, you know, have no other food. And yet here's this piece of chicken, right? You're going to eat it.
By the end of Naked and Afraid, they're eating each other. I'm just saying. But anyway, so lastly, an angry protester threw a pink dildo at the face of a high-profile New Zealand politician during a presser on Friday.
Have you seen the video of this?
There's a video here. I have not seen it. No. Oh yeah, I'm watching the video right now. Yeah, it's like an animated GIF.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to find. Let's see here. The New Zealand dildo. There you go. There is a YouTube, I believe, of it. Let me pull that up here. Yeah, he's chatting away there, and then doom.
That's for raping our sovereignty.
That's for raping our sovereignty. At least for the chat room here,
you could press charges because that looked like a pretty. That looked like a.
It was a substantial like a dildo.
A
it was
substantial
not
substantial dildo. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like a 6-inch or anything.
This
that
is
looked
like a Daniel dildo. I mean, this is a.
Let's just say that that was a pro dildo. You wouldn't, wouldn't want to. It's trying hard to get it to that spot. Oh wait, I missed it.
The sex toy bounced off Economic Development Minister Stephen Joyce's shoulder and hit him on the nose and mouth. As he spoke to journalists in Waitangi on New Zealand's North Island.
Right. And that's for raping their sovereignty.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you would like, so I just want to say, if you.
Yes, me.
Hate the any of the news stories that I pick, you can send us news stories for this segment. That one was submitted by Joe in Dallas.
That's right. It was submitted by Joe in Dallas.
If you want to do that, just send an email to contact@dubiousintent.com with the subject line. News.
Oh, wait. Stop. Stop. Then I can do this.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it.
The Dubious Intent Tech Segment brought to you by Big Fatty Online, the very first and finest name in technology. Adam, occasionally people will call into our show or send emails into our show in order to pick our brains, our massive technologically filled brains.
Technological brains, maybe.
It's what I got. The only I think technological would mean that they themselves were like made out of. I'm just.
I don't know.
Filled with technological knowledge.
Yep.
Suddenly,
you sounded kind of like Bill Cosby.
I did. Though. I sounded like Bill Cosby there, which is not a good reference now.
Trying to eat a Jell-O pudding pop.
Anyway, we often have people that will call in and ask these questions of us, and we have a couple of those. Let's listen to them, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
Here we go.
Hi, Dubious Intent guys. It's Zombie Girl TJ from the Mayor of Squareopolis and from the Brain Dead Podcast. Wow. And now you know why it's called the Brain Dead Podcast. I have a tech question for Adam.
Oh,
I want to be able to use my automatic garage door opener without the accompanying remote because it's old and clunky and doesn't always work very well. I've changed the battery. You have to, like, pull this almost impossible to remove clip off of it before you can get to the screw to open the case to change the battery. And even with a fresh battery, it's just not as zippy as I would like it to be. You kind of have to push and hold the button and rock it back and forth and make sure the red light goes on before the garage door will actually acknowledge that you want to have it open. And that's just not good enough. I want to do it from my smartphone. And I know that there are people out there who have done this. There's probably an app for it. I think there's a service you have to pay a monthly fee for. But out on hackaday.com, there's a guy who shows you how to do it by basically attaching a Bluetooth headset to your garage door opener in the garage, pairing it to your phone, and then somehow simply, you know, pulling up an app on your phone that basically connects to the Bluetooth headset and sends it a signal and therefore opens your garage door. And there's even a guy who will make the little gadget for you out of the Bluetooth headset and a $1 transistor from Radio Shack, which I think
Radio Shack's out of business though.
So my question to you is, do you think this is a good idea to do? I don't need to know how it works, just that it would be secure and function smoothly. Perhaps you've actually approached this problem on your own. I don't know. So let me know what you think about buying a thing on the internet made from a Bluetooth headset that will attach to my garage door opener that will be usable from my phone as if the phone were the remote, because I'm not happy with the remote anymore. Thank you. And goodbye.
First of all, Kathy, I mean TJ, excellent question.
Wow.
You know, and thank you for asking me. I know
that's right.
I threw
a fit. I'm zipping my lips right now. And look at me.
So here's what I'm going to say about it. And I will give, you know, as Daniel does to me, he's nice and just throws me a bone and lets me, you know, throw in my two cents on a question. I will do the same to him. But couple of things. I think it's fine. Like security, I mean, really, I mean, if someone wanted in your house, they could easily break your garage door. I mean, it's not like, you know, whatever. So I don't think security is the big, because I mean, if someone wants in your house, they can break a window. There are all kinds of things they can do. So I'm not saying leave your door unlocked, but you know, it's fine. Bluetooth is not the most secure method of doing something. So that is less secure than other ways. The other thing that kind of I didn't like about this, it's not an app. I read the article on Hackaday, and literally what it is when it connects to your Bluetooth, the act of it pairing with your Bluetooth on your phone causes it to send an electrical signal that activates your garage door. So there's no, you don't have any control over it, like open, close, whatever. It literally is just like, it sends a signal, and if it's already open, it closes. If it's closed, it opens, and your phone has to pair. So that means if you, I don't know if you've ever had Bluetooth headsets, but sometimes they don't automatically pair, and you have to hit on the side, and you're not in the garage, so you can't hit the button. So I think Bluetooth might be a little clunky. So I'm not sure that I would do that one. I think there are a couple of different things. If you are of a mind and you are kind of a maker, so to speak, you can find Raspberry Pi plans or whatever you want to say. You can find instructions for how to do this with a Raspberry Pi and hooking it up to your Wi-Fi and then putting an app on your phone. So there are ways to do it that way. And then another thing to do, if you don't mind spending a little bit of money, most of the major garage door companies now either have an add-on for your particular garage door that will enable Wi-Fi, enable it, and they will have an app that they have created. Like I know Master Lock or Master, whatever, Lift Master or whoever it is. I looked on their site and they actually sell this. So if you don't mind, and it's less than $100, if you don't mind doing that, then that is something actually made by the company and I think would be a little bit more reliable. I don't know that the Bluetooth thing is going to be as reliable as you would like. I think you'll go back to using your old remote. So that's my answer.
Okay, great.
What's your answer? What was your thought?
She asked you, Adam. She didn't ask me.
Okay.
I think we're of agreement there, though. I don't think I would add anything to that. It's like,
yeah. I really feel like the whole Bluetooth thing, it would be clunky. I don't think that you would. Well, I think your results would vary.
Well, I mean, Bluetooth is just an ultra short range radio frequency. I mean, they're both radio frequencies, right? It's just that Bluetooth is very micro powered, so that it just is, you know, like 5 or 10 feet. It's not supposed to be, you know, like Wi-Fi, which would be, you know, 30 feet or something.
And one of her complaints was that she has to rock the thing back and forth and get really close to her garage. So right. I think the Bluetooth thing would be just as clunky as that. Wi-Fi.
Well, that's the other thing you could look into, right, is, you know, your garage door opener is more than likely sending out an RF signal, right? There is there's a radio receiver on your
that's true.
Your garage door opener that is trying to, and it could just be that, you know, you can order that part, you know, if just order maybe the radio receiver is, or maybe there's a antenna that you're supposed to connect to the radio receiver that you just didn't connect, right? And you can just go up there and screw a wire on it, and then magically it's going to work more reliably. I don't know.
My garage door opener is I have to be like right up on it for it to open. It's crazy. Even if I replace the battery. One cool thing about the ones that you can get that have an app, like that you can get from the garage door company, It knows whether it's opened or closed. So if you're a really forgetful person and you get to work and you think, oh my God, did I remember to close the garage door? You can actually open the app and it will tell you if it's open or closed, and then you can hit it from work because it's doing it over the internet. So you can actually hit the button at work or wherever you're at and it'll close the door.
All right. We have another tech question. Let's get to that one quickly, shall we?
Hi guys, it's Chris the Crab. This question is for the tech segment. It's something we're going to be looking up anyway, but I'm curious about SQL. I bought a For Dummies book and I'd wanted to get into it when I was actually working at a job where I would have hands-on in it, and so it would be more practical. Mm-hmm. But being that I'm not in a job that I could work on it more hands-on and more practically, I was wondering what kind of stuff could I possibly do in my free time to kind of apply some SQL knowledge as I'm learning it, because I really want to. I also bought this Visual Basic book, and I can see the possibilities of that because I can do all kinds of databases in my free time and tweak with those. But SQL, not so sure. Let me know. Thanks. Bye.
Adam?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to answer him?
Well, he didn't actually call in to specifically ask me.
No, apparently tonight is Ask Adam night, I'm just going to let you
But know. I can give my thoughts, but I think you should give yours as well
since he didn't specify. Go ahead. No, please go ahead.
There are many flavors of SQL for different databases.
There's not many. There's four, but yeah.
But there are. There are different flavors. And really, so if you're doing it for a job, you're probably going to have to learn a little bit different flavor anyway, depending on what. And at my work, we have different data. We have different flavors all within the same place. So you have to. Anyway, bottom line, I think if you like to do web stuff, if you maybe just create a simple like a WordPress website or anything like that, you can actually then query that database, I believe, using SQL statements. So that might be one thing. You can also just get a SQL server that you can put on your computer and just play with it. Just create tables and whatever. But he wanted to know what he could do at home, so I'm just throwing out some ideas.
Yeah, it depends. Like if you're going to go in business, like if you're looking at Visual Basic, then that's, you know, a Microsoft thing. So I would stick with like looking at SQL Server, which is Microsoft flavor, which honestly most businesses use Microsoft stuff. Newer like web companies will use NoSQL on the back end. So
MongoDB.
Right, which is a completely different language. So it's like NoSQL is a different language than SQL. So SQL basically is just a structured query language. That you would use on your, directly interface with the database, right? I typically don't use. I mean, I do use it for some of our reporting stuff that we have to do because it has to be done in SQL. But like from a programming perspective, like if you're talking about doing stuff in Visual Basic, that is going to be abstracted away from you in Link. If you're using Entity Frameworks, then basically your Link or Link to SQL stuff is going to be what you're going to be writing things in, which is better to learn because, the back end is translated into whatever database you're connected to. So if you're connected to Oracle, which is slightly different than Microsoft, it will handle those translations.
Informix.
Right. But I'm just saying it will handle those changes for you. But if you're just, you know, want to learn SQL, yeah, go to the Microsoft site, download SQL Express. You can get the latest, SQL 2015. Express is a full-blown version of Microsoft SQL Server that you can run on your PC. Get the Management Studio so that you can go into their SQL IDE, which is actually quite nice. And yeah, just play around with it there. they have huge test databases that you can also download in that same pack that, you know, will walk you through a bunch of those things. But
MySQL is, I mean, included with a lot of CMSs use like MySQL, which if you're interested in web, that would be another way to go.
Yeah, but I mean, you make it sound like they're completely different languages. Like, honestly,
well, they're not.
Yeah,
they're
90% of them are identical, right? You're going to create table, you're going to, select asterisk. These are all things that are the same. There's minor differences, and they're usually in really arcane, bizarre things that unless you are like in the reporting department and you have to do some like pivot table on a pivot command on a table, those things are wildly different based off of the, but those are rare cases, right? That your average SQL person is not going to have to do that. It depends on whether you're going into programming or whether you're going into, you know, database maintenance.
I hate joins. I can't get my head around joins. Anyway, no, the reason I was saying web is, because if you just download like SQL Server and you're literally just querying a database, you're not really doing anything. But if you also have an interest in web, you could actually create a website and then actually it might give you like a goal. Hey, I'm going to have this cool, you know, website. I'm going to blog, but I can actually insert new blog articles by query. I can create queries to submit my, I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah. And if you're in school, you can actually go to the Microsoft Spark. I think there's a student Spark area that you can go to there. As a student, if you can show that you're enrolled in a computer science class, they will give you all of the Microsoft tools for free. You can download, Visual Studio, the full versions of Visual Studio and they'll give you a Microsoft Azure account so that you have like a monthly allowance of like $50 on Microsoft Azure so that you can spin up web servers and databases and write back and forth to those. It's like it's well worth looking at there if you're a student. So,
there you go.
We've babbled on far too long, Adam. I can hear the eyes rolling out there. I can hear the eyes glazed over. The crickets are warmed up. Let's just get out of here.
Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, chart it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, get it, paste it, save it. 3, 2, 1.
Contact is the secret. Here's the moment when everything happens. Contact is the answer. Here's the reason that everything happens. Contact.
Excellent. You know what, Adam? We have some phone calls from folks.
I know. I was going to say, this is how technological our audience is. They're talking about how they open their garage doors as they get out of the car and unlock the padlock that's on it and lift it by hand.
Right. Well, that's RT Cruiser. He has like 900 cars.
He lives in the slums of Sydney, so he has to. he doesn't want anyone to steal anything, so he has to padlock his garage.
Got me a dingo in there. That dingo is my god dingo. That's a horrible. I apologize to any Australian who may have heard the sound of my voice just now.
The sad thing, he's not even trying to protect it from other people. He's trying to protect it for the like 10-foot tarantulas that roam around Australia.
I don't even get the joke, and yet I'm still cackling, much like our very first caller, which would be Baron Frosty.
Hi guys, it's Baron Frosty from the Blind Time Podcast.
What?
I'm calling for your Tell Us Three Things contest, which you really didn't go over the rules much, but I thought that was like a fun contest. So here I go.
Uh-oh.
Number one, yes. I used to work in a televised state lottery drawing studio.
Yes.
Number two, I was married to a woman for 7 years.
Yes.
And number three, English is not my first language. Oh. Good luck. Talk to you soon. Okay. Bye.
So Baron Frosty completely misunderstood your whole thing, but at the same time, there you go. There's two truths and a lie, Adam. So you could at least... the courtesy of guessing which one of those three statements was a lie.
So we're still when I say we, I mean me, you.
Right.
I'm still fleshing out the details of that little game, but it will be a live call in. Mm-hmm. And we probably won't do it every week, but it will be a live call in segment. Yes, and we will actually have a prize. We will award a prize that Kathy Bacon will be donating, and. Or Gus Chad will draw a portrait of you if you win. We have one of those. She's either Kathy Bacon will pull the loose change from her cushions, or Gus Chad will draw a portrait. However, since you did go to all the trouble of leaving a voicemail.
Yes. I've already forgotten the three things now that you've talked for, you know, a while.
I think the lie.
Yes.
Let's see. He said he worked in a live televised Powerball.
Yes.
Something.
Yes.
He, English is not his first language.
Right. And he was married to a woman. For 7 years.
I think the first one is a lie. I do not think he worked in a live televised lottery.
So you believe that he was, in fact, married to a woman for 7 years. And that English is not his first language.
I do.
Now, I'm going to think that English is not his first language. I'm going to think that that is a truth. So I'm going to say that, yeah, in my mind, is true.
Have you ever listened to his podcast? It is obvious that English is not his first language.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to say that. But yeah, that's
you know, come on,
kind of the thing. But, but you know, I mean, he works in a bakery. So the second, though, is 50-50 on the other two, though. So it's like, I'm like...
Well, a lot of gays were married to women.
And, I know, but who could? What woman could put up with Baron Frosty for seven years?
Baron is of a certain age where he might have been married to a woman.
How dare you, Adam?
You know, I'm not going to say he was at Stonewall. However,
I'm trying to do my Baron Frosty cackle over here. I'm not doing a very good job of it.
Yeah. I don't. I'm probably wrong, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to say he did not work. But what do you think?
I'm going to go for the second one then. I even though it's 50-50 to me between. I'll say it's the married to a woman for 7 years.
All right. Well, Baron, you should call back in and tell us which one was the lie.
Correct. But this is not. No one else do this.
Yeah, it's going to be a live segment.
We'll have when Adam fleshes it out, we will have, because right now all he has is a fleshlight. See, because he's, anyway, let's get to our next call, Adam, shall we?
Hi, guys. It's Chris the Crab calling. I was thinking about Sunday's episode, and Daniel was under the impression that 30-year-olds would not have anything to do with him. And no, Daniel, you're adorable. That would not necessarily be true. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. In fairness,
Daniel, you're totes adorbs.
I'm totes adorbs. In fairness, I think it was Frosty that said that I would not be attracted. I mean, that 30-year-olds would not be attracted to me. But thank you. Thank you very much. It's like, I think there was a 23-year-old last night.
Actually, I was going to say Daniel's in a phase of his life where all the 18-year-olds are attracted to him. 30-year-olds are a little bit too old at this point.
That is not
so,
true.
So there was really no contest there. He
wow.
He just went out to humor the guy anyway. He's like, oh, what? No, you're 30. You're way
above my age. That is so not true.
I'm only dating
18-20-year-olds. Oh, no, I am not ageist in any way, shape, or form. I went out with a 51-year-old on a date like a few weeks ago.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Did you share hemorrhoid stories or anything like that?
People under 50. Wait, 51? Oh, my God. Let's get to our next phone call here, shall we? Wait, was I supposed to answer anything?
No, he just said you're adorable.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
You're adorable, Daniel.
It's just like, wait, was I supposed to do? I'm so disorganized tonight. Let's just go. Let's move on here.
Hey, Adam, it's Bacon. I just have a question for you. So let me see. It's not necessarily a technical question, but anyway, I do have a question. So when you're in Amazon and, I'm assuming you have Amazon Prime too and you have the Echo, right? So anyway, when you're in Amazon and you're going through the movies and you, add one to your watch list, then what happens next?
I know.
That's my question.
Yes.
So, I started watching Love Actually because, the Bob and Sherry show out of, North Carolina or South Carolina. Where's Charleston? Charleston? Charlotte. They're out of Charlotte. And so anyway, they were on, they're on the radio. So
who?
I was listening to them and then they were
Bob
talking
and Charlotte?
About Love Actually. And then, Larry Bader, who I actually love, posted a tweet about Love Actually or something, I think. And so anyway, God, did he call in and say something about that on the Bear Show? I can't remember. Okay. So anyway.
Yes. Yes, she did.
Slow down. I want to watch it, and I added it to my Amazon watch list.
Yes.
But now I don't know what.
Now you don't know what happened to it, which prompted the original question.
And you're the best, Adam.
Aw.
You
Adam.
Are the best. And oh my gosh, Daniel.
Oh hi.
Thank you for giving up your vote for me to be number one
you
fan
welcome.
At the BFO.
You're welcome.
You know it's not going to ever happen with me. Subscribe. what do you call it? Submitting an entry.
It's already been
right,
drawn, but I don't think I won.
I guess it's too late. Forget it. Okay then.
Excellent.
All right. So
Adam, answer her question.
TJ, thank you for your, I mean, Kathy, thank you for your, I'm getting them confused tonight.
Wow.
I'm surprised she didn't mention a garage door opener somewhere at the end of that call. But, well, all right. So I don't know what the Echo had to do with that.
Because, no, she just says she knows that you have Amazon Prime because we were talking about us on our Amazon Echoes.
Well, so it's simple. Well, it depends on where you're watching it. But online, for instance, if you're on a computer, you can actually go to, if you scroll over the little shop by department link on the top left-hand side, the little drop-down menu gives you an option for Amazon Video. And then when you scroll over that, there's a menu that says, towards the bottom says, your watch list. You click on that, and it brings you to everything that's on your watch list. And then from there, you can select what you want to watch, and that's it. I believe in all of the apps like Roku and all that, you would just have a section that would say your watch
that
list.
That is where you would be wrong, sir.
Okay, so I didn't research that bit of it.
No,
the website has it.
Because I have, throughout my house, I have Amazon Fires, I have a Roku, and I have a Chromecast, and I have a smart TV. And all of these things have apps for both Amazon Video and Netflix. And
they have your library or something like that.
But my point is that it's different on every single, depending on who wrote the app and what platforms it on. It's like, and I'll tell you this right now, the Amazon web interface for their, and I watch a lot of Amazon Prime Video, but it's like, it is just a really crappy interface. You're always having to like search for things to find. It's like, I was just watching Star Trek season 5, episode 4. Don't you think a natural suggestion would be episode 5? It's like, right. Why is this not even on my suggested list? You know, don't get me started on that. But, yeah, I think that's the problem right now is that we're kind of like in this really early time where there's not a standard set yet. It's like kind of like all the interfaces suck. As soon as someone comes out with a really good interface, then everyone will just turn around and copy it. But it's like for some reason, nobody's like sat down and really thought about what's a really good interface for, you know, walking. I mean, but this is an age old question, right? It's like you can look back at Blockbuster videos, like what is a good way to organize videos in a store that people walk through and look at and without just feeling like, oh, I'm being overwhelmed by so many choices here that I don't know what to do. So it's I think whoever cracks that DNA, you know, that particular thing, that'll just end up 5 or 10 years from now just being the interface that we're all used to. Like right now, like Windows is a pretty standard interface. It doesn't matter if you're on a Mac or on a PC or whatever, or on Linux, you're going to go over, you're going to double click on something to open a window. It's like that's a standard. It works the same everywhere. I think we'll eventually get there.
But bottom line is there should be something. It depends on what app you're using, and there should be something that says your library, your videos.
Sometimes
your
there
watch
is
list,
and sometimes there isn't. It doesn't something it really like that. Honestly just depends on, you know, what platform it's on. Yeah. You know,
and I think her platform is that weird TV that she got.
Right. And like my Amazon Fire TVs have a great interface because they're Amazon, right? So but yeah.
She was saying Amazon, her TV was so old, like Amazon didn't work on it or something.
But I shouldn't be talking anyway, because she didn't ask me that. She just went yes anyway. But that's all of our phone calls. That last one, the one that's in from Scotty, was actually more about the clip show. So I'm saving that to play on the clip show. Because it was all about the clip show.
You're using our content over.
No, because it would not be of interest to our listeners, but it would be of interest of the listeners of the clip show. That's all.
That's fine.
So there you go, Adam. That's a contact. Show. That is a show. That's a wait. That's a, you're right.
You gotta end the contact segment.
Wow. Why do I feel like I've never done a show before? It's just like I'm so kerfuffled here. I'm just.
I don't know which strain did you do tonight. Maybe it's the strain that doesn't. You know, that erases your memory of any previous shows.
It's what it, I think what I actually had, Adam, was a doobie ass intent. Doobie's Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Just give us a call on the voicemail line, 229-234-7587, or send us an email, contact@dubiousintent.com.
I think you had a teleprompter tonight.
I did not. I thought about it. I focused on it. I thought about it. Unlike our website that still says Dubious Intent Plus.
I know. I'm working on redoing the website.
Oh, yeah. I got to talk to you about that after
that's
the show.
A technical thing. Okay. But I'm reading this book, Getting Things Done.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks about focusing.
Focus.
So maybe that you're getting things done, you're focusing.
That's what it is. Adam, you will not be here next week. You will be off doing Valentine's kind of things. So
we're going to watch Mamma Mia.
Ooh, Mamma Mia. Is that your Valentine's tradition?
No. I mean, there's a Broadway company.
Oh, the Broadway
coming
company.
Into,
I got it. Turn one. Yeah. The one without Michael Cantaloupe, because that was last time, right? Good night, chat.
Don't know. Good night, David.
Yeah, hi guys, Artie Cruiser for the Celebrity Death End. Maurice White, co-founder of the band Earth, Wind & Fire, dead at 74. Okay, bye.
Hey, Dubious Intent, it is Nico. I am calling for the Celebrity Dead phone thingy. Looney Tunes voice actor Joe Alasky dies at 63. He's probably best known as the voice of Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, and Tweety Bird. So, anyway, he's dead. So sad. Bye.
Yeah, hi guys, RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Voice actor Joe Alasky, dead at 63. He took over from Mel Blanc, voicing most of the characters for Warner Brothers. Okay, bye.